You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome along to Series 6, Episode 21 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley on duty once again. And, Gans, we've had a few fairly lengthy episodes, a few marathons over the last couple of weeks. So we're going to make this one a bit of a bite-sized pod this week. We're going to fly through all of the topics we want to get discussed, and we'll put the feet up for the night because I think we've put in a few long shifts of late. But good start to the European campaign. I think that's where we'll start tonight on the show, because Shamrock Rovers last night, look, I know it was a real bore fest, but that's what they wanted. They went out there. They wanted no drama. Out to Malta. Got the job done. 0-0 draw. 3-0 lager. They're through to the next round. Sligo getting a win in the first leg against Bala. They play the home leg tomorrow. Great chance of progression. Derry City, the only disappointment. But I think we probably knew they were up against it, up against Riga. A team that paid over £1 million in a transfer yesterday for a player. So that goes to show you the level of opposition that Derry unfortunately got in the first round of Europe. But overall, would you say a fairly positive start to the European campaign for the Irish clubs?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it like that. You know, the result for Rovers over the two legs, as you said last night, it was horrendous watching, but no one will care about that really when the in a two-legged tie, it doesn't matter what way you do it as long as you get through. So I thought, I think we said it last week, that the work done already, so you can't really complain with the performance. Like, it wasn't a bad performance yesterday, just not boring old game, nothing really happened, so I think it was exactly what Rovers were looking for. Sligo probably made heavy lifting of it. I was at the UCD Bowes game last week, so I didn't get seeing any of this, but did they make a bit of a dog's dinner of it?
No, not really, no.
Should they have won more convincingly?
I was out as well, unfortunately, Thursday night. I couldn't get watching it live, but I've watched it back, and when I was out on Thursday, took the phone out a few times, and after when I seen that they were one down after 6 minutes, I went, oh, here we go again. They're gonna fill the togs, as you say, in Europe. But they reacted really well to going behind, and they controlled the game. And I think the only thing they'll be disappointed about when they look back at it is the fact when they had 11 men on the pitch, they probably didn't come away with a bigger winning margin, because they had chances to maybe go on and score three or four, and they didn't. Have you seen the red card back, Gary, for in this game?
No, I haven't.
So the centre half, Panacker, he's just caught idling on the ball, and he's thinking about passing it back to the goalkeeper, and then he thinks about maybe playing it up the pitch. He gets caught in possession, and then he pulls the man down on the edge of the area, and he gets his marching orders. But look, aside from that, they weathered the storm. I don't think Bala really had any chances after the red card either. So to win 2-1, good result for them. They probably would have liked to have won by more. As I said, when they had 11 on the pitch, they could have won maybe 3 or 4. But look, they're going home to the showgrounds now. They are the better side. They're the better side than Bala. So if they don't come through that one now on Thursday night, they'll be extremely disappointed with themselves.
Yeah, no, and look, to be fair as well, they had a good travelling support. So it's good to get the away win as well. So I think they just need to be professional now at the moment. They need to be, you know, frustrate Bala and don't let them get any chances in the game. Like, you don't want to put, if Bala get an equaliser on aggregate, you don't want that pressure on you.
Yeah, I don't think Sligo will be looking to kind of frustrate and maintain that lead. I think they'll be looking to build on it. I think, as I said, they are the better footballing side. I think the two lads up front caused huge problems in the first leg, Keane and Mata. So I think Sligo, with a home crowd behind them, big home crowd, I think they'll be looking to go and put that tie to bed early, get an early goal, and then they can be, you know, they can start thinking about game management, maybe seeing it out. But I think they'll be looking to get on the front foot in that one. You mentioned the fans. Glad you mentioned that as well. Brilliant travelling support. There was more away supporters than there was home fans. Now, the game wasn't played in Bala. It was played elsewhere. So it wasn't exactly a home tie either for the Bala fans, but still great to see such travelling support. And I'm sure everyone saw that video that went a little bit viral on the Between the Stripes Twitter of the famous bootlegger. He was in with the Sligo fans in Wrexham having a great time. And look, me and you that go on Irish away trips, we know what great ambassadors Irish football fans are when they go away for the country. They behave themselves so well. They get, you know, involved with the locals, and it's just a great bit of fun. And the Sligo fans did exactly the same. You know, we've talked about a lot on this podcast about crowd trouble this year and issues in the league with bad behaviour matches, but the Sligo fans were an absolute credit to their club and to their country, which was fantastic to see.
Oh, absolutely. It was, yeah, look, they're a credit to them and credit to their club. So, and plus, you know, we were talking about last week before a ball was kicked in this tie that, you know, a great opportunity to get a bit. I know it's not the most exotic of locations that they're traveling to, but, you know, it means that a good crowd can go. It's very accessible for people. And hopefully, if they do what they need to do tomorrow night, they can get it across the line on tomorrow. And then, is Motherwell confirmed as their next?
I'll have to double check that, but I think it might be. I think Motherwell might have got a buy through, but perhaps Motherwell have a game to play. I'm not 100% sure. No, they must be, because they didn't play in the last round. So,
oh, fair enough.
It must be a case that they got a buy through. So
yeah, brilliant. But like, that means now, you know, as soon as they, you know, get it done, like as I goes with the international fixtures, straight onto the internet looking at flights and how to get there and whatever. So
I see a few have taken a chance already. They said they were going to take the chance and book flights and trains and all the rest. So look, fingers crossed. It
whatever about us taking a chance on, you know, where the game might be played. Like we were before the war, we had Ukraine booked.
Yeah,
and we were flying into Kiev, and then it was moved to Lviv or Lviv, which was a disaster because it's about 6 or 7 hours away. So it would have been just as handy when it was in Poland. But like, whatever about those risks that we've taken in the past, it'll be some double whammy losing the tie and having the flights booked, but sure, they might head over to Motherwell anyway, see what the crack is. But hopefully that's not the case, and they'll go over with plenty of purpose.
As we said about Derry, we always knew the Riga tie was probably going to come a year or season too early for Derry, wasn't it? This is very much a building project at the moment. They weren't in great form in the league going into this one, and going up against a Riga side that have, you know, they're well-financed. And I know people have been pointing out the fact Derry are well-financed, but we aren't seeing Derry going splashing out almost 2 million quid for a player. They're not at that stage just yet. So I think this tie just came a little bit early in the Derry City project, so to speak. And look, hopefully they'll give it a good crack in Riga, and probably going to be just a case of go again next year with Derry.
Yeah, it looks to be the case. Unfortunately, you know, was Matty Smith sent off as well during the game?
Yeah, that was a really, really harsh sending off. So the ball goes out of play. The two players kind of, as you often see when they're wrestling over throw-ins or whatever, they just both push each other. Smith, he kind of raises his hand up towards the face of the Riga player. But I think he actually had more contact on him, Smith, than the other way around. So it looked like the ref was just going to do the basic thing of show a yellow card to each player. He books the Riga player, and then he turns around and he sends off Matty Smith. So he must have got some sort of indication from the linesman that maybe Smith had raised his hands or whatever it was. But it was a very harsh one. And Derry were in the game up until last stage. They did create a couple of chances, and they looked like they were maybe just building a little bit of momentum. And then the red card comes along, and then it's just a case of you're hoping that it's not 3 or 4. And Riga did hit the crossbar late on as well, so they could have really put the tie well and truly to bed. But at 2-0, it's going to be extremely difficult. We saw when Dundalk went to Riga a couple of years ago. It was a real tough place to go and play. So I'm not expecting anything from Derry at all. Just hopefully they give it a good showing. But even with the Smith red card, it was probably always going to be an uphill mountain for them if they didn't win that game in the Brandywell, and they were beaten 2-0. So I think that's all she wrote for Derry this year in Europe, I'm afraid.
Yeah, probably the case, but like, it was never a red card. Like, there was no harshness or, you know, poor decision, or like, it was a horrendous decision. It wasn't even like, oh, I can see where he's coming from. It was just crap. So I don't really know what the referee was, how he managed to come to that conclusion. But look, I think it was always going to be a difficult tie. Probably 2-0 at home. It's just it's not a disaster, because they weren't expected to go through with that handy. But I thought, particularly the second goal, was quite a poor one to give away. There's a few missed tackles, a few lazy legs gone in, and your man just passes at home. So I think that was a real sucker punch. Like, and it was very soon after the red card too, so it kind of just soured the whole lot. But look, I think if they, who knows? Like, I don't want to write them off. Like, if they manage to get a good start tomorrow, who knows what will happen.
I mentioned when we were previewing this one that last European campaign they had, I think it was Minsk, they lost in the first leg. And then they went over and they beat them, scored a bag full of goals over in Minsk, but unfortunately they went out on away goals or on aggregate. So they'd probably be looking to draw a bit of inspiration from that one. But I think Riga will probably just be a little bit too steely for them. But just on Derry, they really need to get their, no matter what happens in this one, they need to get the league form going again, because their season could soon peter out otherwise, couldn't it?
Yeah, that's kind of a huge concern. Like, I think, you know, it's, this season probably came a bit too soon in the project, as the saying goes. Like, they're probably based on the start of this year. But even, I think, you know, I probably drank the Kool-Aid a bit myself. They had a lot of late winners. Do you know what I mean? That kind of, not papered over cracks, but it certainly put a great big shine on it.
I remember joking with you on the show about that, because we were saying we had criticised Shamrock Rovers the season before for all the late goals they got and that they weren't convincing. And Derry, they pretty much started their season off doing exactly that. And then we were thinking, oh, well, Rovers did it last year, so Derry's doing it this year. So that's the blueprint for champions. But I think you're right. It was paping over maybe a lot of cracks early on in the season.
Yeah, I don't think cracks is the right word. I think it was just progressing it a bit more than what it actually was doing in reality. So, I don't want to take away from them. I was obviously wanting them to do well in the league, and because I picked them for the league. So I was hoping that they'd push on and, you know, extend that form across the rest of the season. But it's probably just came a bit too soon for them. And I think, though, you know, they had a good result. Who was it they bet to get back on? Before UCD.
After Bowes, 3-2.
Yeah. Like, you know, they were... I was hoping that from a bit more excitement from them against UCD, but I thought they were extremely poor in the game. It took a penalty to beat UCD. I'm not really sure, have they fully turned the ship around just yet as regards the league. So I think they've a bit of work to do on their league form at the moment. But I think for the time being, if they could get an early goal tomorrow, who knows what will happen.
We'll get stuck into the domestic stuff from the weekend. Thursday night, you were at this one, UCD against Bowes. You can tell us all about it, because from speaking to you during the week, you weren't overly convinced with Bowes here at all.
Oh, I don't think anybody was, to be quite honest. I thought UCD played quite well in the game, certainly in the first half. I thought it was very harsh in them that they were 2-1 down going into the halftime break. Very good goal to open the scoring from UCD. But I think it was a deflection or a little nick that probably put the keeper off for the equalizer, kind of hit off the keeper when he was fully behind you when the shot was taken, I'd say. And then it nicked off someone and then hit off the keeper and into the net. So just an unlucky one. And then I think it was Bert or Coote got the second just before half time, which kind of had Bowes bailed out of jail, really, because I thought they were extremely poor. Just very flat, not, I wouldn't say disinterested, but on the way to being disinterested, they weren't really at much. And then they got a third with a penalty, and the former Bowes player, Dawson DeVoy, slotted that in, I think. So
yeah, well, we're going to discuss that in a minute, but give us your final thoughts on this game first.
Yeah, I think so. Some of the new players that Bowes have brought in, they did play in that game or played a part in it. I think one of them started Kerr, I think it was. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But I thought that, like, there were certain incidents in the game. I think Flores was getting really annoyed with some of his colleagues. Like, he was expecting runs and stuff like that. Who was playing left back? Janie Mack.
For Bowes, Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was Wilson. Heading the clouds job. He wasn't with it at all. He was thinking about Berlin or something like that. he wasn't thinking about the game in front of him. Like, Flores was losing his mind with him at times. I think there's a serious issue with leadership in that squad.
Yeah,
there isn't one leader.
We've touched on that before, haven't we?
Yeah, but like, there's no characters. There's no, you know, I don't know what it is. There isn't one leader on that pitch. Like there isn't one fella you'd look at go, I'll follow him. Mm. Or I'm gonna take ownership of this and make people follow me, or let people follow me, or encourage people to follow me. There's none of that going on. I think there's a lot of malaise within the actual players at the minute. So it'll be interesting to see if the new lads can shake them up a bit.
Yeah, we'll move on to Dawson Devoy. Obviously, we touched on it last week that we don't think he's been at his best this season, but we know the talent he has. So very best of luck to him moving over to MK Dons. Hopefully it's a great success. I think there's some talk of him maybe been loaned out by MK Dons to another English side or a European side to get him some experience before he goes into the first team. So we'll wait and see if that's the case. But you've mentioned that Bulls have brought in a few new players, and we saw a couple of them play in that game against UCD. Doherty there was at right back, and Kerr at centre back, and there's a few players on the bench as well, some new names there. But you could argue those players they're coming in to pad what was already maybe a light squad in certain areas, particularly the bench. You know, it wouldn't have the quality that the likes of maybe Shamrock Rovers, obviously, and some other sides have in terms of depth. So those players were probably already needed. And with Devoy going now, you'd imagine they're going to need more reinforcements and recruits coming in.
They probably will. Like I don't think there's been too many lads, certainly in attacking areas, that have been that exciting or that reliable for Bulls this year. So they probably need a bit more excitement in around the middle. Who takes that position?
Looking at them on paper, though, we said it last week as well. Bart, fantastic player, but we haven't seen him just perform to the levels that he has previously at Bulls this season.
Oh, but did you not see the goal he nearly scored? Give me a break.
But he scored it. Look, he got on the score sheet against UCD. Ali Koo, great player. Jordan Flores, we know the talent he has. Unfortunately, injuries caused a bit of an issue there. But the three of them in behind Promise, I mean, that on paper is exciting. On paper, this Bulls squad should be performing better, but it's just not happening for whatever reason. And as you pointed out, maybe leadership is a big issue. So maybe it's not a kind of a flair player that they need in there. Maybe it's a battle-hardened pro that's going to come in and try and gel that group together a little bit more.
I think so. Like, there doesn't seem to be much in the line of major characters in that squad. So that's a... You know, and I thought that was fairly evident on Thursday. I thought, there was no one grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck, as a fella said, or, you know, the type of player that you're not playing great, you're playing against a poor side, you need to win the game. I know Bo's won the game 3-1, but, like, it was far from convincing. So I don't really know what that looked like with these new lads coming in, as I said. But as regards, you know, you said, you mentioned there as well, the boys in behind Promise. If they're not, how fluidly are they working together this season when they do play together?
Consistency has obviously been a huge issue this season. Yeah. So I don't know how you go about rectifying that. But just on Bulls again, you know, that friendly, I know we had a bit of a joke about it last week that they were heading on this jolly up over to Berlin, but their fans certainly have had a great time over there. They played really well in that friendly. Only lost 2-1 against the Bundesliga side. And I touched on it last week. Like, they had a great run in Europe last year. So we know the quality that's in this Bulls team. We know it's there. We know what they can do. They proved it again. I know it was only a friendly, but they can't mix it with teams at a much, much higher level. But they're just not doing it consistently in the league this season. That's got to be a huge frustration for their supporters.
Yeah, it's a frustration. But, like, I'm not saying that Union Berlin aren't a good team. Far from it. I do follow the Bundesliga quite a bit. But, you know, I think it was their first friendly of the season. Lads coming back from holidays and stuff like that. That was the most strenuous of performances from Union Berlin. Let's put it into context, really. As you said, a friendly that is completely meaningless. I know it's good to test yourself against higher opposition, but you test yourself against really poor opposition 2 days beforehand, and yes, you won the game, but you weren't great. So, you know, I think there's bigger issues rather than going, oh yeah, sure, look, we did this against the Bundesliga, but you're sixth in the League of Ireland, lads, or wherever you are. So I think context really needs to come into it.
Yeah, so that was the game you were at on Thursday. On Friday, we were at different games. I was at the Louth Derby, dropped it against...
Oh, were you?
I was, surely.
What brought you there now?
Well, you didn't give me the nod until late in the week that you were going to Treaty, and I'd already committed to this one, so...
Commit me whole. You go to the team you support. Well, who knows who you support?
All right,
I'm not sure if
right.
It's Longford Town.
Anyway, I was at this one, Drogheda against Dundalk. I was expecting it to be a tough game for Dundalk. I think I predicted 0-0 on the pod because, like, I've seen a lot of Drogheda this year, particularly ahead in the game park, and they're very well organized. They're very difficult to break down there, but I didn't expect Dundalk to be so poor. Dundalk were absolutely atrocious in this one. I'd seen this coming, and I'd been highlighting this to Dundalk fans, and they were telling me I was been too negative. Just like that Bose game there against UCD, the 3-1, Dundalk beat UCD the week before 3-0 in Oriel. But I thought they were extremely poor for large periods of the game. And people said, oh, we got the job done, got the win. That's all that matters. We move on. But the signs were there. This Dundalk team, they're too slow in possession at times. Possession for the sake of possession. And they're struggling to break teams down. They haven't been creating lots of chances and goals. They've been in good form. But I've been at a lot of their games over the last month or two. And I haven't been overly impressed. I haven't come away from any of their games, bar the performance against Shamrock Rovers. And I said, yeah, that was a really, really good performance from Dundalk. I mean, is that the Pats game a couple of months ago where they won 1-0? Defensive mistake for me in Birmingham, latched onto by Daniel Kelly. That was the difference on the night there. Aside from that, very boring game of football. There's been loads of games like that that Dundalk have been involved in over the last while. So the signs were there that this result was coming. And I said it on the show last week that if Dundalk played the same type of football that they did against UCD, against Drogheda, Drogheda would sit in and they'd soak it up all day long. That's exactly what happened here. Drogheda, they looked to have more hunger, more intent about them. And I'll tell you, what a brilliant goal as well. I thought I was in for a cracker, only just taking my seat when across into the boxes, Andy Boyle makes a bit of a mess of the clearance. Dean Williams hits it on the turn and straight into the top corner, and the place erupted, and I was thinking, lovely, we're in for a cracker here. But fortunately, that was the only goal I got to see that night, but a brilliant goal. And we said it so often about Williams, he only needs a sniff and he scores. I think he has to be one of the most underrated finishers in the division, particularly for such a young player.
Yeah, I think that's a fairly good comment on Williams. Like, we saw how, I don't want to say prolific, but...
He was prolific with Longford Town.
He was,
think of the lack of chances he had and how many goals he scored.
Yeah, that's quite true, you know. But, like, he scored a few free kicks and stuff like that as well and penalties as well under pressure, you know, that... But it was meaningless for Longford. I think this is a managed...
Well, he's done that this season for Drogheda. He scored a few penalties in high-pressure situations. Didn't he score the penalty? Did he score the penalty in the other win over Dundalk? I'm not sure on that one now. Maybe not. But
he did, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. So he's got the winner in two Louth Derbies this season. I mean, when people look at him and say, why did he leave Shamrock Rovers? This is why he left Shamrock Rovers, to get opportunities in the big games, a Louth Derby, packed out house. And he's getting his chance and he's stepping up to the plate.
He certainly is, 100%. I certainly found from speaking with him the couple of times last season, like he really believes in his own ability and he backs himself. He has great confidence, and that's something that you need particularly.
I think he feels like maybe he has a point to prove as well, the fact that he didn't get more of an opportunity at Rovers, and I think that's a little thing that drives him on as well.
Yeah, probably does. But even aside from a point to prove, like, you can have a point to prove, but if you have no confidence, you're in bits. Like, so I think the confidence is very important. Like, are Shamrock Rovers there weeping that Dean Williams scored a goal in a Drogheda Dundalk game? Not really, because they're top of the league, so they don't care, you know, that he's gone. I think for Dean Williams, he'd made the right decision and left. And you know, he's getting regular football and scoring goals, and that's all he was looking for.
Yeah, just on Drogheda, look, another brilliant result. They're in great form. I think they've only lost one of their last seven or eight matches. They're in really, really good form, and they're taking points off the big teams, particularly at home as well. At this stage of the season, you'd have to look at the job Kevin Doherty and Darragh Doyle are doing there and say that Kevin Doherty's probably, if the season ended now, he'd be up for manager of the year. He'd be in with a shout at the award.
What?
He'd be in the mix. I'm not saying he'd win it. Obviously, Stephen Bradley, if they're going to win the league, he's automatically in the mix. Stephen O'Donnell's brought Dundalk forward massively. Outside of those two, I think Kevin Doherty would have to seriously be in the conversation for the job he's done this season with Drogheda.
Yeah, he's done a good job, but no.
Think of the players they lost in the offseason. We all said that they were going to have a real, real difficult season. It was going to be a struggle to keep them in there, and they're really comfortable in mid-table.
Comfortable in mid-table? They're eighth.
Yeah, they're miles ahead of the two teams below them.
Yeah, but of course they're going to be ahead of the two, you know, up there with the worst teams in the division in years. You know, like, if they're not above that, then they may throw their hat at it altogether. Like, yes, the lost good players, make no mistake, and I don't want to be sounding too harsh, but, like, it's called a spade here. They're still eighth by virtue of how poor Finn Harps and UCD are. Do you know what I mean? They're keeping in touch with Shelburne, but, you know, Shelburne are also promoted. Like, Damien Duff deserves as big a shout as Kevin Doherty. I think the only person that's a nine for really is Stephen O'Donnell. If he keeps going the way they're going at the minute, I think you kind of have to hand it to Stephen O'Donnell, as much as that would annoy me. But I think, objectively, he's been managing a team that is doing extremely well in the division so far this season.
Got a bit of work
I thought you'd be hugging and kissing me over that. Your boyfriend in the league, Stephen O'Donnell.
He's got a bit of work to do after this one. This was an incredibly poor performance. Lots of players letting themselves down on the night.
Yeah, but you're going to have bad games. Like, that's just part of life. I think particularly with a lot of.
I think this performance has been coming for a while. I haven't been impressed with them over the last couple of weeks. The good news is, though, that Patrick Hooban, we thought he was going to be out for 5 or 6 weeks. He came off the bench in this one. They really need to get him back up to full fitness, because I'm afraid we had this conversation last week. McMillan, he's just not the force of old. So they need to get Patrick Hooban back up there and fully fit. But
did Dundalk play the way that I said that they shouldn't play last week?
I couldn't really tell you how they played in this one, Gary. They were just so poor that there was no real game plan about them. If anything, they were lucky not to lose by more than one in this game.
Fair enough. No, because I think if they didn't amend their approach to this game and style of play, then it was never going to work. So I'm not saying that I need to Stephen O'Donnell need to be listening to the podcast and hear about what I think, but at the same time, McMillan isn't able to press and do the same things that Patrick Hooban is. They try doing it, as you said, they try playing the exact same way against UCD, and only for how poor UCD are, that's how they won that game 3-0. It wasn't going to work for anybody else.
We'll move on from this one, and we'll go to Shells 3, Harps 1. So Shells finally get the hoodoo off their back at this fixture. They'd lost it twice this season and lost quite badly in the game at Talca, but they bounce back here.
Yeah.
Not great defending from either side in this one, but that's a big result for Shells.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's it. Ball burst for Finn Harps. All they'll be looking now is to see who's going to come out of the first division, really. They're so far away. They're so poor. I think, who's their top scorer this season? Probably Ethan Boyle, I'd say, is it?
He must be up there, is he?
I'd say so. Yeah, it is actually Ethan Boyle. Joint top scorer.
There you go. That's it. That says it all.
What says it all? Yeah, like, yeah. And even with the goal that they did score, on Friday, it was a free kick and header, and it was grand. Do you know what I mean? The ball got his nut on it, and that was fine. But I don't think, no danger of Shelburne not winning that game. They were creating more chances. They were on the front foot. I thought Moylan played.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
Yeah, he played quite well. He got a goal, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he probably could do with adding more of those to his game.
Yeah, I think Conan Byrne was on commentary and he said that was one thing he just needs to tidy up on as his finishing, because he had another one where he dribbled around a couple of defenders and just didn't get he got the shot away, but just didn't put it in the corner and the keeper saved it. So, but look, hopefully that will come.
Yeah, like, he has 4 goals this season. Like, he's second top scorer for Shells. Like, it's not a bad return, but, like, you know, especially, you know, first regular occurrence playing at this level, so he's doing well. I just think with his ability to get into the positions that he's getting into, Yeah, he probably have 10 goals this season.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He seems to do the really difficult part well, where he's skipping by three or four players, and then the finish comes and he can't apply it. So, look, hopefully that's just something that he'll learn, and a bit of coaching or whatever, he'll be able to just tuck it away nicely. But I agree with you. It's ball burst. It's game over for Harps. It's going to be the relegation playoff at the very best for them. If they do end up in the playoff and they're potentially playing Galway, Waterford, Longford, Treaty, would they beat? How many of them sides would they beat right now? Wexford, actually, I should mention Wexford, but anyway, how many sides would they beat in the first division?
Look, they'd probably beat them all. I think
even Galway and Waterford.
Yeah, like I could say,
are we falling into the trap? Just a little bit like Burnley in the Premier League. Oh, Sean Dyche, he'll get them out this season. He couldn't get them out. Are we falling into the same trap where Harps here? Is there a race run, but we're thinking back to years gone by where they win playoffs? And
I don't think so. I think I'm not seeing enough quality. It really depends on who comes out of it. So I'm probably just trying to think too much of who gets out of the first division.
Let's say Galway.
Yeah, no, certainly, definitely not. I think they wouldn't have a hope, particularly who? Galway.
Who wouldn't have a hope? Galway or Harps, who wouldn't have a hope?
Oh, Galway wouldn't have a hope.
Even with Rob Manley?
I deleted that from my brain that he's gone there. God.
Scored on his debut the other night too.
I had no doubt about it. I don't know. I think with Rob Manley, like, I don't want to hang my hat on one player, although I'm very fond of Rob, as he knows. But I think there's just, I don't know, there's something lacking in Galway. And maybe Rob Manley would have helped change that. But, like, I've seen Galway twice this season in the flesh. They were crap in both games, like, dire. And that was long for playing fairly well.
Mm.
But, you know, not blowing the world apart either. I was just impressed with how bad Galway were. And, yeah, it was just quite annoying to see that they're, you know, able to, like, they won the big Cove 3-0 last
just,
week. Like,
you're just wondering weird, though, if it did come down to it, who's going to score the goals for Finn Harps? Where are they going to get goals from?
Ethan Boyle or someone we've Boyle never heard of before.
Walsh up to 12 goals now, and Manley off to a flyer as well. So there's goals in the Galway team at least. So I'm not saying they would beat Harps, but when they're up against
someone good.
Yeah, I just don't think
it's already beating Cove 3-0. That's sound. Any Eagle can do that at this point. They struggled against Longford. It took a corner header against Waterford, who lost a few players. They lost against Longford, and they won't beat Cork again. So, you know, and then after that, there's, you know, Treaty are all right, not great. Wexford are all right, probably not great. Like, they're beating nobody. I know that's probably insulting to a lot of clubs, but, like, it's kind of true, though. Who are they beating? Oh my God.
Confidence has to be a big thing, though. I mean, if Harps go into that playoff and they haven't won a game in 2 months, and Galway are coming in, you know, in semi-decent form.
Confidence doesn't matter up in Finn Harps. Confidence is irrelevant. I don't see it being a requirement here.
I think you might be looking back to former years too much. Don't see the quality in this Harps team. Look, we'll move on. Listeners, you can give us your thoughts on that. If Harps do end up in the playoffs, which it very much looks like they will they come out of it or not? Let us know. Get in touch. We'll move on to the first division games, guys. This is the game you were at Friday. God love you, poor soul. Treaty 3, Longford Town 0.
Are you going to make the trip? No?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
Saved about €150 in diesel. And was in bed by 11. It was a grand old night.
Didn't have
all the nuisance and annoyance.
Get that Sky Sports subscription back out. You don't care about it. Jesus. I thought Longford were all right in the first half. Again, plenty of useless possession, which is quite frustrating. Didn't make you know, they don't use their possession wisely, I think. And, you know, it's just frustrating stuff, really. I think, you know, you look at Graydon being
missing.
Been sold. But they got Adi Emo in, and he was on the bench. He started on the bench and he came in and he looked lively. He had a couple of chances, but he hasn't played a lot of football this season, so he's probably a bit rusty. So that'll come in time. Penalty, the first penalty was a penalty. I think from my angle, I couldn't really see the line. There was an exact where it happened. There was a shadow and then sun, so it was very hard for me to see it. But we look back it was on the line or inside the box.
That the one where Mick McDonald just sticks the leg out.
It sticks out the leg, yeah.
He's been caught already this season once doing that. I think it was the
Galway.
Just sticking out a lazy leg. It's frustrating when you see that because it's happened once this season.
But I will say one thing.
Go on.
Just on that. Longford Town were up the other end of the pitch. And Treaty, to their credit, turned it over extremely quickly. And they attacked that.
I asked you, I was like, where's Elwardy gone? Because McDonald's come out to the right back position to make that challenge. So Treaty have exploited that very, very well. Longford, they 100%. Shouldn't be as open as they are there. But McDonald, he can't be just sticking the leg out there because...
do it outside the box.
Exactly, because when I seen it first, you can see the player, the Treaty player is looking for it, but once you see that leg, go for it. That's, you know what I mean? So there's contact, it's a penalty, but it's such a cheap penalty to give away.
Yeah, 100%. Then 10 or so minutes later, our old pal, Enda Curran, stepped up and buried a penalty, which unfortunately was, I don't care what anybody says, I've looked at it back a few times, never a penalty.
Add balance here. I thought it was looking at the replay, but I don't see how
Curran didn't have the ball. It was a clash of bodies. He wasn't getting the ball either.
He pushed him in the back. Verdon pushes him in the back, but I cannot understand for the life of me how that decision's been reached.
Oh lad, look up the rules.
How can it be a clear goal scoring opportunity if he hasn't got the ball and he's probably not going to get on the end of that cross either? I don't think that's a penalty. It's a penalty, but I don't see how it's a red card.
If the ref thinks it's a penalty, then it's a red card because Sam Verdon didn't go for the ball.
Okay.
Because the ball wasn't there.
Yeah.
So, you've seen it back as well. I still don't think it was a penalty simply because it was more of a coming together rather than that ball was going away from where Curran was running into.
He's put his hands on his back or in the vicinity of Enda Curran. He's given the ref a chance there. Can we agree on that?
He has given the ref a chance, certainly.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, what were you doing there, Sam? Why are we in the box? What was going on there? There was plenty of cover there. There was no need to be in that half of the pitch to remind our own box. I don't understand that, particularly after going 1-0 down and a penalty. There has to be more acuteness in the Longford Town team, which I'm not seeing enough of at the minute. Mm. There's no we're blue in the face talking about dealing with refs. Luke managed to get himself yellow carded, bleating on at the ref after a penalty was given. That's not the time you talk to the ref. You know what I mean? Like, that was a useless yellow card to give away. And, you know, but every Treaty lad, or not every Treaty lad, but seemed like every Treaty lad was on his first foul. There should have been three or four yellow cards in the first half.
We've seen that earlier in the season. Was it the Cork game where McGerson nearly gets his head punched right off his shoulders, and the ref didn't give a penalty, and not one Longford player went over and asked the referee, is that not a penalty?
Yeah, like the referee's mother should be able to hear the shouting that should have been done to the referee. And like, I just to put it into context here, I was at a Waves game on Saturday, and there was respect. The referee campaign and the clap the referees onto the pitch, that's great, and you know I've been I'll hold my hands up. I am a serious instigator of digging at refs. But like, referees don't show enough respect to players or management or anybody, in my opinion, in this league.
Right. Well, the managers themselves will tell you that. We've had numerous exactly. managers onto us saying that you simply can't have a conversation with some of these referees. So
yeah, but like we've seen it in the last year. Plenty of stories that we know about that mm-hmm. can't go into that have occurred. And nothing been done about it.
Right.
You know, I go on about that. One of the most outrageous occurrences in the game in this country. What's his name?
Tomney.
Yes. Down in Longford. Like, outrageous stuff. It should have been on the 6-1. It should have been on the front page of the papers. It should have been on prime time. That was allowed to happen and nothing said.
Yeah.
But my issue is, I've no issue, and I think there should be more respect given to the refs, but they should also give it more. But in cases like that, you know, you can easily see, four lads put up the hand, lad is 5 yards onside, but the four defenders put up the hand, fly goes up.
Mm.
Fly, easy to buy and sell refs. And I don't mean on a bribery point, I just mean it's easy to hoodwink them. Oh, screaming and shouting, oh, that must be a foul.
Yeah,
you know, well, it's very easy. But Longford Town players don't seem to be able to play the game.
Yeah, well, as we said, they gave away two ridiculously stupid penalties. Just tell us quickly about the third goal. What happened there?
That was a header from Enda Curran.
Oh, yeah, free header. Yeah, seen
yeah.
that.
So, yeah.
One, no, fair bit, three, one of the biggest nights of his career, huh? He couldn't wait to get home and get on the Twitter.
Oh, I'd say he had the phone charging. He was dying for us. He was running off that pitch to get tweeting. Fair play to him. But, no, look, like, make no mistake, I thought, like, Treaty were okay on the night. Probably played a bit more football than we've seen in previous editions of this. And I've seen them once outside of a Longford yeah. Town game. And, you know, they definitely played more football than what we've seen before. But I think Longford Town, they're not making use of the chances that they create, and they're not the possession that they have is not dominant enough. They're not putting the opposition under enough pressure, which is really frustrating. But look, fair play to Treaty. We were talking there. Some celebration, some amount of content from Treaty. Fair play to them. Must have been looking forward to that win. Since their inception.
Yeah, geez, I could have swore it was a local derby, the amount of tweets I got. And I'm not talking about Enda Curran. I actually enjoyed that. And I always say he's
a bit great, crack,
great,
yeah.
great lad, fair play. Yeah. But then you get people under it then taking it seriously and DMing you stupid stuff and sending you abuse. No need for it. Like, just a bit of crack. So you'd swear it was a local derby. Some of the way some of their fans
it was a Champions League final. Honest to God.
Fair play to them. Glad they had fun.
Yeah, no, I have no issue with that at all. It's just like,
away from that, on a serious matter, great, it's a huge win for them. Probably a win that wasn't expected, but you know they had started to lose a little bit of ground on Wexford over the last couple of weeks. But all of a sudden now, Longford Town have both of those teams breathing down their necks. Wexford and Treaty haven't built up a nice little cushion, and I know Longford have games in hand still. But there can be no place for complacency going into this game against that low, because Longford need to build that buffer zone back up.
Yeah, they do, but I think part of Longford's issue this season is that they're extremely inconsistent.
Mm.
You look at games, like if you go back as far as, let's say, their last five games, drew 1-1 against Bray, not good enough. Drew 1-1 against Cork, a game that they should have probably slaughtered Cork with the amount of chances that were created. Go down to Wexford, I think they've bet twice this season and lose 2-1, and then beat Galway 2-0.
Yeah.
And then get slaughtered 3-0 in Treaty. Like that's quite disappointing from a Longford perspective. Now we'll go and look at Athlone. Like if Longford Town don't beat Athlone, forget about it. We'll throw our hat at.
In saying that, Athlone have given Longford two difficult games this season. So again, there can be no complacency here. Longford have to go out and get the job done.
Yes, they do, but there's complacency. We've shown plenty of complacency in it. Should have been beating Bray at home.
Mm.
Didn't do that. Should have been beating Cork at home based on the game. Yes, when you look at that fixture on paper, fair enough. A 1-1 draw is certainly acceptable and a good result. After beating Wexford 3-0 earlier on this season, beating them at home, as well. I know it was a last minute winner, but like to lose in the manner that they did, with some of the chances that they created. But also, I suppose thinking back to that game, Longford should have been down by more. They were extremely poor, but then turn around in an extremely good performance against Galway. Longford Town need to get a bit of consistency here. How they're going to do it, because they've been trying it all season, it hasn't really been working out. They need to get a bit more of a stranglehold on games and actually use the possession that they have.
We'll move on. We'll speak about Longford's upcoming opponents at the weekend, and that's at Lone Town. They lost by 1-2 at home to Bray Wanderers. And I've seen Bray saying that this keeps their playoff chances alive. They're 9 points off the playoff places, so they're going to have to go on a serious run of form if they want to have any chance. But they get, what, their fourth win of the season here at least?
Yeah. I don't see how they don't have the staying power, I think, to maintain a proper challenge into the playoffs. But like 9 points,
yeah, how is it not more?
Well, how is it not more? It's true. I think, yeah, it's hard to know. Like I suppose, like with the gap that the two top teams are that they've created, do you know what I mean? There's 10 points between second and third, so I think that probably makes it a bit
more condensed down below.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If there's 8 points separating third and sixth, that's not. Now, I know Waterford have a couple of games in hand, but you know they've started off Crane Pie poorly. Like, without cutting across into the game that we're about to speak to, they had a bad loss at the weekend. So I think, yeah, no, I don't. Sorry, Bray, I don't see it happening this season. But yeah, look at. At Lone made it difficult for them. But
five games on the spin now at Lone have scored, as we've said all season. Scoring goals is not an issue. It's just that the goal, I think it's the second goal they conceded in this one. It's very similar to a goal they conceded against Longford, the Ryan Graydon goal early in the year, where their back four just push up the field aimlessly and they play everyone on side. You wouldn't see a schoolboy level. It's incredible. And look, I keep saying it, the there is potential there. They've got some good individual talents there, but they're just such a poorly drilled outfit. It makes it absolutely incredible that they haven't appointed a full-time manager yet.
Yeah, that's an issue. And I said last week, that's probably going to attract attention from the league, but we haven't heard too much about that. But I do want to... It must be extremely frustrating for Athlone, you know, players that, like, there doesn't seem to be... And not an end in sight, but, like... A reliability of a appointed manager. Do you know what I mean? You know what you're going to get a train, and you know you're going to get this. You know you're going to get that. Now, from what I understand, I heard that there's either it's done or it's quite close to being done. Don't know. Will it be done in time for the weekend? But I do want to say, like, they're not as horrifically bad as the table suggests. I don't know how fair that is, but they have been scoring
53 goals this season.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just saying, like, some of their play is quite nice.
Yeah.
Like, they have really nice purple patches in games, but they just can't seem to convert that into points on the board. Like, they're obviously losing weight.
Because they have no structure at all.
But that's it. That's exactly it. And that's what a manager will resolve.
Yeah.
That's where, like, the individuals are doing the nice things on the pitch, but they don't seem to be able to grab a hold of games in the manner that they need to actually get some points on the board. Even a few draws, you know, like throw a bit of a shine on something.
In saying that, though, a new manager isn't always just a silver bullet for success, is it? Because we'll move on to the next game, and this was Shane Keegan's second game in charge of Cove, and again, no goals, and they concede three. So he's conceded five now in the two matches, and yet to see his team score a goal. So the leaky back four issues that plagued Cove all season, they continue, I'm afraid. They were beaten 3-0 by Galway, and we highlighted earlier, Rob Manley on the score sheet on debut for the Tribesmen. Stephen Walsh with a couple, so he's up to 12 for this season. Incredible stuff.
Yeah. Look, delighted for for Rob to get full time football, and fair play to him for.
And technically, he got an assist as well because he forced a save from the keeper, which was tapped in by Walsh. So he easily could have had a double on his debut, Manly.
God, no, absolutely no doubt. He probably could have had a hat trick on the night as well. But look, I think it's great for him, great for Galway. I think he'll certainly push them on to keep the pressure on Cork, but definitely, like, it's a rebuilding job. I don't rebuilding's a bit much, but like Shane Keegan, he's not going to take much out of this season.
No,
and change it up so much that Cover next year, you know, or putting a load of back to back wins together or something like that. The season has been incredibly poor for large parts of it. So I wouldn't be, you know, digging them out for another poor loss because they've been at it all year. So I won't, like, there's not, like, the season's right off again, I'm afraid.
They play Waterford next, and Waterford, look, it's always a roller coaster with them, isn't it? I mean, they were the best informed team in the country with 8 wins in a row, and now they suffer back-to-back defeats. They lose to Galway, which, look, you can understand that. It's one of the top teams in the division, but they lose 3-1 at home to Wexford in the derby. Quite the result here for Wexford. One of the biggest results Ian Ryan's had since he's gone in as manager there. But their progression seems to continue at the moment.
Yeah, it's all ticking away nicely for them. You know, a huge win that I don't think anybody expected, to be fair. And, you know, don't a slight on Wexford, but, like, you know, it was a great result for them. And as I said, one really unexpected, and they haven't lost a game in a good while. So, you know, there's
since they came back from the break, we said that they'd have to have a good start after the break to, you know, get into them playoff spots, and they've done exactly that.
Oh, they have, and, you know, they've been full value for it as well. Like, the only real pain was a 2-2 draw in bloody Bray, that they needed a crazy own goal to get back into that game. So
4 wins and 2 draws since they came back.
Can't argue with that. And some of them have been very good results. You know, what, Cove
beating
away,
beating Waterford.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, they bet at Lawn 3-1 at home, comfortable win. Kept Cove scoreless. Now, I know Cove aren't exactly prolific goal scorers, but still, that's an away clean sheet.
Yeah.
For a team that has conceded 35 goals this season, that's really nice. You know, so there's a lot of positives there. Aaron Dobbs scored again for Wexford. He's having a decent season. I think he's got 7 or 8 already. He should have had 2 in this game.
That first goal that they score, it's unbelievable skill from Dobbs. And look, we've seen it so often with him, unfortunately. The finish just wasn't there. But lucky enough, a bit like Manley and Walsh in the Galway game, the keeper rebounds it straight out for a teammate to tap it in. But he gets his goal later on. And I'm delighted to see Dobbs doing well because he's had a difficult couple of years. But he's hit form now, which is fantastic for Wexford.
Well, it certainly is. But I was just like, because when I seen it, I was like, he doesn't score first. Because
I was like, bury this.
How do you not score this, lad? Oh, come on, lad. You do everything right.
Yeah.
You have the ability. Horse it in, for God's sake. But yeah, as you said, look, he got his goal. And look, and even if you look back at that, it was really good play from Wexford. They take the quick throw.
Yeah.
Waterford are sleeping.
Sleeping.
And, you know, it's like they forget for a minute that you can't be offside from a throw-in.
Yeah. As very, very good as Wexford were, all 3 goals were extremely avoidable from a Waterford point of view. So I'm not sure what's happened over the last couple of weeks, but they've really gone to sleep and they've blown all chance at the title now. They're 11 off the league leaders, so title's gone. It'll be playoffs, and I suppose all these rumours in the background don't help at the moment. What's the future of the club? What's going on? Who's fighting who this week? You know, there's always this type of stuff going on at Waterford. So that doesn't bode well going into a potential playoff. So
no,
I wouldn't fancy their chances of promotion at this moment in time.
No, and look, I don't think that's an unfair assessment either. Like, they've been you know, I don't want to write them off because, like, as you said, they were the form team in the division.
Yeah.
The 2 divisions, nearly. beating everyone for fun. But like, I think these results, now they do have a couple of games in hand on the team. I think they played the fewest games in the division at the minute. So they've game in hand on Galway, but they win that and that'll bring them 7 points. I think that's just too many points in the difference.
Yeah.
But there's 15 games left. Who knows what will happen? I think that losing Britain is going to compound that, you know, difficult couple of games that they had. So I think the title or even finishing second is just beyond them.
Mm. Let's move on and talk about the title in the first division, the title race, because we're going to get stuck into our predictions game. And it's the top two clashing at Turner's Cross on Friday. What an occasion this should be. Cork City against Galway. They've been very tight meetings. It's been 1-0 either way in the two games this season. Who's going to come out on top in this one?
I think Cork. Plain and simple. I think they're, you know, they've only lost the one game at home, and that was actually the reverse of this game.
Yeah.
Earlier on this season. So, or sorry, the first edition rather, not the reverse, but I don't see. Well, Galway are playing a team that are in and around their level. Now, I'm not saying Longford are in and around their level, but I think Longford have been playing some really good football this season at times. But I think Galway found it extremely difficult to break down Longford. They didn't seem to have any game plan whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Hoof it long to nobody. You know, it was.
Well, they have someone to hoof it to now.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that's given me pause for thought. But I think it's probably too soon in his Galway career that...
Nothing's too soon for that, man.
No, it's not. And I was about to say that I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he bangs in three. But I do believe... I think Cork just have the measure of the entire league at the minute. Yeah, I'm gonna go 1-0 to Cork.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna go. Gonna start with the old reliable this week. Gonna go 1-1. Definitely see this been a low scoring one on the basis of the two fixtures between the teams this season. I think that there's so much on the line here that this could be a little bit cagey. But obviously Cork on home side.
I still think Cork go for games at home. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they have that. Yes, on a way. Game certainly they're probably a bit cagier than what they might like to be.
I just think, Galway, I think
at home, like, there could be 4,000 or 5,000 at this game. Lad.
Oh, there will be easily, yeah. I'm just thinking Galway are going to go there, and we know the way they're going to set up. So, I don't see this being a high scoring game. I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to go 1-1 on this one. We'll go to the Classico.
Yeah. I think, look, anything else other than a Longford Town win, and a bit more convincing than the last time they played, because Longford made heavy lifting of Athlone in Athlone. And I think the game, finished 2-1 the last time they played.
2-1, that was...
And that was a couple of crappy enough goals from... Now, Graydon's goal was quite good. They bet the offside trap and did quite well. But the equalising that game was a cross that just went in.
Yeah, from Karen Chambers. Yeah, no, yeah. Look, people within Longford have said that was one of their poorest performances of the season. So they know they'll have to perform better than that, because you're asking for trouble. If you go into a game playing that poorly again, then you're not going to get one of those Karen Chambers goals every time to bail you out of trouble. And Athlone hit the post late in that game as well, don't forget. So I think Longford were very, very fortunate to come away. So, look, I said that they've had two tough games against Athlone this season. There can be no room for complacency here. But at the end of the day, Longford are going into this one. They haven't lost in any of the last 19 Midlands derbies. So there's no excuses here. I said it at the very start of the year as a bit of a joke, but I'm kind of deadly serious too that... When Gary Cronin or whoever comes in as Longford Town manager in the first division, the objectives, obviously, you want to get promoted, you want to win the league. On that list somewhere, 4 wins against 4 against Athlone. No excuses. That has to be the case. So, look, I'm going to side with a Longford win here, but I don't think it'll be overly convincing. I'm going to go with a 1-0 win for Longford.
I'd be extremely disappointed if that's all Longford managed to do in this game. Sorry. home game against Athlone, 2-0 is just about okay. 3-4-0 has to be the aim here. Longford Town haven't been exactly prolific in front of goal this season. I think the most they scored this season was 4 against Cove. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, that was an away win, to be fair to them. But, like, I think, surely to God, we're due a blowout win against somebody. And it has, like, Athlone, there's no better candidates than Athlone at home. This will be the last time we play them this season, isn't it? We've one more in Athlone. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So, job is half done. 2 wins from 2. Need to make a 3 from 3 on Saturday. I'm going to go 3-0 Longford Town.
Right, guys, we'll continue on with Bray against Treaty. And are Treaty going to build on that fantastic 3-0 win against Longford? Or are we going to go back to seeing the sort of, the conservative performances away from home?
I don't really know. It's kind of like they've won the last two. One of them was against Treaty or
Cove.
One was against Cove, excuse me, which is probably an expected enough result. I know we didn't peg it as a, I think we said 1-1 or.
Nah, I think we were relying on it. Manager bounce, yeah.
But I think my head to this one on Friday. See if they can back it up. But I think, Bray are not the worst shakes at home. I know they're not winning, but they still can be difficult to beat. So I'm going to go for a 1-1. It's going to be 0-0 or 1-1.
Yeah, I think.
And I was at the last time I was there, I think I was at this game a few months ago. I think I said I'd never go to this game again.
Yeah. But
I think it just suits me now on Friday to head down there before the Town play on Saturday. So I'm going to go 0-0 in this one.
Fair enough. You're going 0-0. I'll go 1-1 again because my good friend Enda Curran is back scoring goals. So I thought he had a touch of the flu or something. I didn't think he'd be playing the other night. So it was some shock when I walked out ahead in the game park and opened up the live score and Enda Curran with 2 goals. And I knew then, I said, I better not open this Twitter app, but yeah. Opened it up and there he was sitting ready waiting for me. So fair play to him. No, I think he'll get a goal. So we'll go 1-1. Cove against Waterford. Great chance for Waterford to end this mini poor run of form they're on, but
yeah, no, I think that's the only way I can see it here. Like, I think be expecting them to be working hard this week after those two poor results, and as we said, that they were quite damaging results in their challenge. I think they're just too far away. Like, they're obviously too far away, but like I don't think they were going to be able to mount a serious challenge. Anyway,
I wonder what the motivation levels are like there now, because start of the year, anyone that came in there, they were obviously told the objective is to win this league and go straight back up. And now they're in the position where they're going to be in the playoffs. Have they lost a little bit of bite now, I wonder. Whereas when they were probably on that 8-match winning streak, they were looking at the teams above them saying, yeah, we're getting closer here. We can do this. And now it's gone.
Yeah, they probably have. But I think you have to take each game as it comes. Like there's a lot of teams that are, unless you're fighting for survival or battling the title, everybody will probably lose motivation after a while, but that doesn't really wash. They have to show up each game and try and compete and challenge for results. Like, I don't think there's anybody that plays the game that is happy enough at losing or drawing on a regular basis. So I can see where, yes, that they haven't fulfilled their hopes and probably expectations for the season, but I think you have to still compete and still push on as best you can. You could probably say the same for maybe like Longford. I know they've kind of been pulled into the teams below them rather than into Waterford, which is quite disappointing from my own perspective. But I think with each team that you play, you kind of have to go, right, we can probably beat these. Let's go out and put our best foot forward and see if we can do that. But I think, there's definitely, there probably is a bit of disappointment knocking around that dressing room at the minute, particularly when you lose like a Leon Britton.
Yeah, I'm just not sure what it is. I'm just looking at this game and look, I'm going for a 2-1 win for Waterford, but there's something inside me here that just, I'm getting a strange vibe about Waterford at the moment. And I know it's easy to overreact to results and all that, and that's probably what we're doing a little bit. But just with everything going on in the background there and new manager coming in and losing certain players that you've touched on, just not sure that everything is hunky-dory there at the minute. So they probably need to go out and prove that it is and give Cove a good bashing here. But I'm going to go for 2-1 to Waterford.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 to Waterford. Like, it's not... There's no gimmies, despite who you're playing. I just think, you know, the players have to block out some of that golf going around them. At the same time, you know, they can only affect what they can affect, and that's the performance of the pitch. So I think the players need to block that out as best they can and just plow on and you know, get the result. And I think, like, they have the ability to do it. They have the players. They have everything in place to win this game. So I'll take with the 2-0.
Right, let's get stuck into the Premier Division. Pat's Dundalk. I think you were at this one earlier in the year when O'Donnell went back for the first time.
I watched it on the box. O'Donnell Gate.
Yeah, and I was at the most recent one, and both games were atrocious. So I'm expecting this to be fairly tight as well. Pat's got that great win against Drogheda, and then they didn't play last week because of European games and postponements. So they didn't get a chance to carry that momentum. And we saw the issue that caused for Longford. Best performance of the season against Galway. Didn't get a chance to carry that on because they were in the bye week, and then they go out against Treaty and they fell flat on their face. So Pat's probably disappointed they didn't get a chance to build on that great showing against Drogheda. Whereas Dundalk, as I touched on, they've got to bounce back and big reaction now. Going up to Richmond after a really poor performance and poor result against Drogheda. So I think this will be nip and tuck. What way do you see it going?
I think it's going to be quite a low scoring game. Yeah. I think a goal one way or the other will settle it, but it could easily be a 0-0 here, which is the way I'm going, because we've highlighted Pats earlier on this season when they're playing teams that are kind of above them, that they kind of shut down and, you know, let it kind of play by them, or not play by them, but like they don't open up and go for the kill themselves. I think they're quite negative, so I think we're going to get something similar here. It'll be one goal that decides it. I don't think there'll be many goals in this. I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, I'm gonna follow you on that one. Drogs against Bows. I think this could be a difficult game for Bohemians because, as I said about Drogheda, particularly ahead in the game park, they're very well organized, very compact, don't give teams a lot of space, and they press with real intensity as well. You'd think they were a full time team because they go at it for 90 minutes. They don't lay off, they're relentless, so they're a difficult team to play against. This is the sort of game where you'd love that creative player like Dawson Devoy in the midfield. They don't have him anymore. Now, as we said earlier on, they've still got lots of other really good players in the midfield who probably just haven't been consistent enough this season. So I worry for Bowes going into this one. I think that their flaky nature that we've seen of them this season might come up here and bite them in the ass. So I fancy Drogheda to get something here.
What do you fancy them to get?
I'm going to go a draw on this one, and I am going to go with a 1-1 on this.
Yeah, I'd be kind of in agreement with everything. I was kind of going between a 1-1 and a 2-1 win to Drogheda here, but I kind of feel the way Drogheda play, I think they're quite conservative at 0-0, and if they have to go after a game by, you know, if they're 1-0 down or something like that, I think that then they kind of open up. But I don't think they go for the kill early on. And I think they're quite, you know, reserved in the early parts of games. So I think I'll follow you.
Reserved against
the
Dock the other night.
I know that, but like that was just straight from kickoff. Like, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to go somewhere.
You have to go somewhere, is right. So I just feel, you know, it'll be important to back this one up. I think they could do a point would be a great result here.
I think both fixtures this season between the two have been draws. So
yeah, they have.
I fully fancied them to get another draw here.
Yeah, same. 1-1. You're dead right.
Now, I'd say this is a big one, Gaz, but Harps are in a really bad position and probably not going to get out of it. This is definitely a bigger game for Derry. It'll be on the Sunday, this one, after they come back from Europe. So let's just assume they're coming back from Europe, eliminated already. They've got to go, as we said earlier on the programme, they've got to go back to domestic duties here, get the ball rolling again and start saying, right, we're not going to win the league this season, but we need to get second. That has to be the target. And they need Eye Up Dundalk, who are, after having a bad result the other night, they need to go and try and close that gap on Dundalk and overtake them and have a good end to the season and use that as a building block for next year then. So they have to go and win this derby against Harps, don't they?
They do, but it's not going to be just that handy. You know, back from Riga, now I know it's not exactly Kazakhstan either, but, you know, it's still something that they haven't been just that used to traveling around the place. Like, are they going to come back Thursday night or Friday morning? I know that game has been pushed out to Sunday, which is, you know, an extra bit of a break. But, you know, you're back Friday afternoon. Do you do a bit of training on Saturday? You know, you're doing recovery still. Like, it's still a tight turnaround. So I'm going to side with Derry here, but I definitely have reservations about it. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Derry. But it could easily be... I could be ant in this game. This is probably my weakest prediction for this week.
I'm going 2-1 Derry. As I said, I just think they need to get the ball rolling again in the league. So Harps, I think, as we said, their race is run. They're just waiting for the end of the season now for the playoffs. So I'm going to go 2-1 to Derry. I suppose, though, Harps do have to just keep in mind that UCD is only, 4 points behind. So I suppose that carrot is still there to keep them motivated, that they need to make sure they don't get automatically relegated. But I think Derry will have enough. I'll go 2-1. Sligo against UCD, our final game on the show this week.
2-0 win. Sunday. Yeah, 2-0 win to Sligo. I think that's the only, regardless of what happens, you know, they'll be at home tomorrow evening, Thursday.
This was a 2-2 when they last met, wasn't it? And were Sligo two up in that one, or were they two down? I think they were two up, weren't they? They were two up when UCD came back.
In Sligo?
I think it was, but I could be wrong.
It was 1-1 in the ball there a few weeks ago.
It was in Sligo. They were two up, and UCD came back to 2-2.
Oh, yeah. Colin Whelan had a great goal from outside the box.
He did.
Joey Indo called it probably before he got it.
Haven't heard him on comms in a while, actually.
I haven't either myself. Not that I watch too many Sligo games, make no mistake. But I think for this one, hopefully they'll be on a high after getting through to the next round in Europe. I think they'll carry that
danger of, if they're through to the next round, they're already looking ahead to Motherwell and they're overlooking little old UCD. Is that a danger?
That's down to the manager. I think he's too new in the job that he can't afford to be at any of that rubbish. That's not an excuse. That's just poor game
management. They need momentum going into that Motherwell tie as well.
They do. But like, I think the first thing that they need to worry about, as we said, is finishing off Ballytown. And then they can worry about, you know, that you couldn't ask for a better first game back after a European tie. So 2-0 to Sligo. No messing, no fussing. Get it done. And, get out the gap.
I can never be too confident with Sligo. They're just they've been that team over the last couple of years. But the fact that front two is in such good form, particularly Keane at the moment, and great to see him get that new long-term contract as well. That's crucial for Sligo going forward. The fact they're playing so well, I'm going to back them here. I'm going to go 2-1 to Sligo. And as you said, fingers crossed to get through that European tie on Thursday. But look, that's the end of this week's show, Gaz. As I said, a bit of a bite-sized version of the pod because we've had a few marathons over the last couple of weeks. But we'll be back next week with our usual stuff, and we'll have a couple of guests for you on next week's show. It just didn't work out this week in terms of getting guests on, so we just said we'd sit down and have a bit of a chin wag about what's happened over the last week. So hopefully listeners have enjoyed that one.
Yeah, 100%, and hopefully we're, you know, talking next week. I think Rovers playing on Tuesday next.
Yeah, and it's going to be live on RTE as well again. So I know we've criticised RTE, but it looks like that, you know, they're following Rovers all the way through now in the Champions League, which is great. Hopefully, I don't know what the situation will be if they drop into the Europa League or the Conference League, because it's usually Virgin to show those games, isn't it? So we'll have to wait and see. But I said to you before, the news channel is very underutilised. When sport is already on RTE 1 or 2, the news channel is there. why not use that? The picture quality is very, very poor. I know there was a couple of audio issues there last night, but it's great to see that I think they've taken on a bit of the feedback from last year that, you know, the champions at least should be, they should be followed from start to finish.
Yeah, and look, to be fair, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I think that you don't want to, like, it is the national broadcaster, like, they have a lot of responsibilities as well, so you can't just poison football. Like, they're already showing the women's Euros at the minute,
which is great, by the way, that every game is on it. It's fantastic.
It is. There has been some comments that, you know, there's a women's league in this country as well that don't get any notice from RT as well. Now, that's probably been harsh on them. You know, they're starting the process of getting involved with, you know, more equal coverage, let's say. So, you know, they have to be applauded for the bit that they are doing at the moment. But I do want to highlight, me and you were talking last night. I thought the production quality from the boys out in Malta was horrendous. Not production quality, just the camera work. I think a pixel camera would have picked up more of the ball than what was shown last night. I think the fella was looking at his phone or, you know, chatting to someone else, because the cameraman just wasn't able to keep up with the ball at all. And it was such a dull game. It wasn't as if it was end-to-end 40 shots, a game or anything like that. It was really poor stuff, and it was hard watching at times. So, you know, I think it just goes to show that a lot of the, you know, I'm blowing my own horn here, but I think, like, teams in the first division, you look at Wexford stream, our own stream at Longford, at Lone stream as well. Like, they're brilliant productions, and that just goes to show what volunteers are able to do in the League of Ireland. So, yeah, I'm patting myself on the back, but I'm also patting the back to my colleagues in Athlone and Wexford and Cove as well. So that's what can be done, and, you know, there's a good product there in League of Ireland TV, particularly at first division level. I think, you know, I was talking to someone in the FEI recently about it, and, yeah, he was saying that there's a lot of differences in streams and stuff like that. Like, replays are like this down in Wexford, and I do replays slightly differently, and it'd be great to get all of those equalized. But, like, I think we don't want to limit the creativeness either. Not that I'm the most creative of people, make no mistake about that, but I think, you know, I try and do stats and stuff like that during games. I think that's something that we want to maintain, whereas, like, in the Premier Division, there's none of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, do they even show the table anymore after a game? I don't think they do. So we don't want to lose, you know, production values either. So hopefully, the league continues to support LOI TV and the people producing the streams.
Yeah, to all the volunteers out there, keep up the good work. You're doing great stuff. As I said, I hope you've all enjoyed this week's show. We'll be back again next week. We'll try and get a couple of big name guests so you don't have to listen to us two rabbiting on for over an hour. But hopefully you have enjoyed this week's show. If you've got any comments, any feedback for us, get in touch on social media. Give us a follow on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to the pod wherever you're listening. That'd be Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, all the rest, or through the website betweenthestripes.net. And if you're enjoying the show and you'd like to help us along with our running costs, then head to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI, and you can buy us the price of a pint there to help us with the costs. But for this week, from Kieran and Gary, thanks a million for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.